In the northwest corner of France, the windswept and rugged peninsula of Brittany, you'll find strong Celtic ties, plenty of tasty crepes, and not many Americans. The independent-minded locals are linguistically and culturally different from their neighbors in Normandy and, for that matter, the rest of France. Tradition reigns supreme here, where life seems to have remained unchanged in so many ways for centuries. Today, I'm joined in the studio by two Bretons, father and son guiding duo, Patrick and Richard Vidal, to share what they love about Brittany. Patrick, Richard, bonjour.
Bonjour. Bonjour.
Nice to have you here.
Que navo
in Brittany language.
Oh my goodness, there you go.
Hello, mm-hmm. Bonjour.
Say again.
Que navo.
Que navo.
Que navo. Exactly, you're there.
And it's really important when we travel around Europe and in countries like France to celebrate crossing a border that's within a country, a border we might not even recognize because there's a huge cultural border between Brittany and Normandy. What's on the other side of Brittany? What province?
Normandy on one side, the Val de Loire, the Loire Valley.
The Loire
Valley. Pretty much on the other side, yeah.
But we're going to talk about Brittany here. And Patrick, people don't understand how different it is from France. Can you explain just the personality of Brittany?
But the base of the Brittany culture is the Celtic culture. It's like Ireland or Wales to England because it's the Celtics were all over Europe, Western Europe. But eventually they were pushed away as far as possible. And they, in France, they ended up in Brittany. That was the western part of Brittany, the western part of France.
So that is interesting when you say that. It is Celtic. I mean, you know, Scotland is, Ireland is, and they have a lot in common, don't they?
Yeah, they've got a lot of common. Language is very close. The type of music is very important down there. It's very close.
Lots of bagpipes.
Yeah, lots of bagpipes all around the place. Yeah. And their history is the same. I mean, what we always forget is the entire Western Europe was Celtic before the Roman.
So that's interesting. We think oftentimes that these borders that we grew up with have been there a long time, but they've been there a relatively short time.
In the history of human beings, yes, absolutely.
And if you did have a map of Europe from way, way, way back, it would be Celtic land.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, most of the names of the towns in France, of even in partly Germany, Switzerland, are coming from Celtic roots before the Roman.
So, Richard, when you're guiding and you want to show off your town, what are you proud of about Brittany? What's fun to share with the tourists?
I think the easiest way to start is with the food. We have the crepes and we have, more importantly, we have the galettes.
Now, this is a fundamental thing because I'm guilty of this very often. I just call a crepe, but most of the crepes are actually galettes, I think.
The savory ones with the darker flour, with the sarrasin, the buckwheat, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Buckwheat flour are the galettes, and you have savory ingredients in them, and it can range very, very differently depending on which parts you are.
So when you go to a creperie, the first course would probably be a galette, and then the dessert would probably be a crepe.
Absolutely, that's how you'd go. And they'd have names of different places with the different specialties in them.
Is it Normandy also or mostly Brittany?
No, it's mostly Brittany. Yes, yeah, that's really, really the core.
When you're in Brittany, it just feels right to have a crepe and a galette.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do I remember your father used to make crepes as a business?
We did. With my mother, we used to have a...
Did you ever eat any of those crepes?
I did. I ate quite a few of those crepes.
I bet you did. What was the best savory that you had?
Definitely egg, dried ham, mushrooms, that kind of mix.
The classic.
The classic, the complete.
Complete, that's complete it. What are you going to complete? Galette.
Lard, egg, and mushrooms.
Lard, egg, and
cheese.
And
a bit of cheese.
And a bit of cheese, of course, a bit of cheese.
And then if you're in a great mood and you wanted a dessert, what would you have your father make?
My father, I don't know, but the quignaman.
What is quignaman?
It is a bit of butter, a bit of sugar, a bit more butter, and a bit more sugar.
that's a purist.
That is,
you don't need no stinking Nutella.
It's caramelized butter and sugar.
With a beautiful crepe.
It's not the crepe, it's a cake.
It's a cake. It's a butter, caramelized sugar and butter cake.
So you would venture away from the crepe?
For desserts, I would indeed, yes.
Okay, yeah. But what if you wanted a sweet crepe?
A sweet crepe. In Brittany, for dessert, you'd have maybe apples. I love apple and caramel, salted caramel.
Apple and caramel, that sounds very Britain.
That would be called the classic, I think, in the crepes. And savory, I love andouillette. The andouillette
is... What is andouillette?
How would you describe andouillettes in English?
Tripe sausage.
Oh, you French guys, you'll have the tripe. Yeah, you could give that to a tourist. Good luck.
Not the only place where you find tripe, but it is very popular.
I'll look for that word. I'll try it. If somebody wanted to have a hit of alcohol, liqueur for the dessert, what was the one you would recommend, Patrick?
The alcohol that the Brittany people do know the most is the chouchen.
What is that?
It's a kind of a distillation of honey, and there's a bit of apple as well in it there.
Apple.
Gotta
have
honey,
apple.
Honey
and apple.
It's honey based.
And then what's another example, Richard, of eating local? What's something a little more fancy food?
Seafood.
Seafood.
Seafood's another one. Oysters, a huge culture of oyster eating and very famous oyster areas.
The French love their oysters.
They do love their oysters, whether it's from the south of France or from Brittany. It's the second big oyster... Ostréiculture area.
The oyster...
Yeah, the farming. There's a word for the farming of oysters.
So that's
oysters.
An industry in Brittany.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it's huge.
It's big. Yeah.
All right. Patrick Vidal is a French tour guide based in Brittany, and he's shown us many aspects of life in France over the years here on Travel with Rick Steves. He lives in a 17th century stone farmhouse he's been renovating in a small city in the southern part of Brittany. Patrick's joined today for the first time on radio by his son, Richard. He's developing his own skills as a tour guide now as well. They're telling us what they love about their home region of Brittany and what they'd love for you to discover in the northwest of France. Patrick, you guide tours around France, and so many tours, they barely hit Brittany. If you wanted to focus on Brittany, help me make an itinerary for Brittany. What would you do if you had a week in Brittany?
Well, the first thing is there are two completely different parts of Brittany, the coast and the inland, the center part of it.
Ah.
And they are very, very different. The coast is much more... wealthier, touristy, visited, not touristy with American, but a lot of French people. And with the
touristy, not because it's Brittany, but because it's on the coast.
Yeah. And then you've got the center part, which is very remote, very quiet, which is more agricultural land, but has got a lot of very strong culture in it, and which is fantastic. You've got very nice landscape and very, very nice areas.
So it's tough to compete with the beaches, but let's stop on the interior first. And where would I go if I really want to enjoy a slice of Brittany culture in the interior, which would be the more traditional part of the region?
To me, you would have to go pretty far. And around what are called the high mountains of Brittany, the Mont d'Arrée, the mountain of Arrée, which are 900 feet high, something like that. 1,000. Let's put it to 1,000, roughly. 1,000 feet. Yeah,
300 meters.
Feet, feet. Yeah.
That's even worse. That's not very high. So those are the big mountains in Brittany.
Yes, absolutely. But it's very wild around and very open land. And the landscape is low bushes and... granite stone.
Okay, so it's a harsh environment.
Yeah, very harsh environment,
and
very cool.
And would you find a medieval ramparts and a half-timbered old town?
In the center part, not that much.
No.
Because all the big ramparts that we think of now are on the border. And there's two rows of chateaux built, one part by the Breton and one part by the French, which was protecting the Brittany duchy from the French at some point.
We have to remember that. We think of France as centrally ruled and no problem, really. But in the day, Brittany was a fiercely independent country. If I'm thinking about going to Brittany, we want to go to the interior for the traditional slice of life. But Richard, if I want to just go on the beach and have a great time, where would the French people go in Brittany?
A very popular part of Brittany is the northern cliffs. Very popular. The southern, we come from the area called the Golfe du Morbihan, which is very popular, which is an inside little sea area with thousands of islands.
And are these places where you'd have a small town on the beach where people would come and just enjoy the sunshine and swimming and family activities?
One very, very popular area is Quiberon.
Quiberon.
Quiberon, which is a presqu'île, the half island just slightly connected to land.
Okay.
Which has beautiful beaches.
So you call a peninsula a half island?
Peninsula, that's the word.
That's a half island. How do you say half island?
Presqu'île, a nearly island.
Nearly an island.
Nearly an island.
A peninsula, I love that.
Yeah.
You know, when I think of Brittany, I do think of menhirs, prehistoric megaliths, Carnac.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain to us that dimension of Brittany that we will see?
Now, Carnac is very close to Quiberon that I was talking about.
Right.
And Carnac has these giant fields of standing stones of the menhirs, indeed.
So menhir, M-E-N-H-I-R.
C-H-I-R, I believe.
Absolutely. And they are a huge mystery to us still. And they were put thousands and thousands of years ago up in these fields. And they are still here and they're protected. And
are they? We all know Stonehenge in England. Mm-hmm. Is it from the same general time of Stonehenge?
No, it's pretty much the same time. We're not sure 100%.
But you've got these megaliths. It's big stones. Yeah, that's what the idea is. And it is really a dramatic extra dimension.
Karnak has got around 4,000 stones, standing stones.
Wow.
In lines, like fields of stones.
Our guides to the French region of Brittany right now on Travel with Rick Steves are tour guide Patrick Vidal and his son, Richard. They specialize in introducing American visitors to the sights and stories of France and their home region of Brittany, or Breton, as it's called in French. Or you can call it Brége in the region's traditional Celtic language.
So the challenge for us is to know where to go on our limited vacation time. There's so much to see in France. I think in the area of Normandy and Brittany, you know, the west of France, the biggest attraction is Mont-Saint-Michel. And throughout my early years of traveling, the question was, is it Brittany or is it Normandy? Because it is really right on the border, isn't it, Patrick?
Yeah, it's very close. You've got this little river which gets there, the Quenon. And in fact, technically, the border is on the river. I mean,
but sometimes the river was on the
That's what the Brittany people are saying.
But I think now the river is established
No question, it's the Normandy side.
So Normandy gets Mont-Saint-Michel.
Yeah, absolutely.
And all of the tourist masses.
Yeah.
But just a little farther along the coast from there is Dinan and Saint-Malo.
Saint-Malo and Cancale is plenty of very, very interesting places.
Describe Dinan and Saint-Malo, because those are striking cities.
Oh, Dinan is striking. Dinan has got this kind of heart of the town with the medieval building, with overhanging kind of different levels, half-timber houses, lots of creperies.
Yeah.
And walls are around the town. And it goes down to a river with nice walks around and lots of life in the town.
And that's Dinan.
It's Dinan, yeah.
D-I-N-A-N.
D-I-N-A-N, yeah.
And Saint-Malo.
Saint-Malo is completely different. It's an enclosed town along the sea. It's some fantastic views on the sea from it there. And it's a completely rebuilt town because it was bombed during the Second World War. But it's been rebuilt as the was wealthy in the 18th century, the time of the French official pirate boats, which were
the pirate boats.
They were the official pirates that the French crown would say, "Okay, go and loot those boats all around the place there. As long as they're not French, you're allowed to do that."
So,
go for it.
If you're going to get as far in France as Mont-Saint-Michel, keep going west.
Yeah, it's very, very close. I mean, half an hour, 45 minutes, you get there.
You get to Saint-Malo, you get to Dinan. And then, Richard, there's a Emerald Coast Drive that is very scenic. Can you describe would you do a road trip enjoying driving along the coast?
You absolutely can. There's this beautiful road that goes along these very wild and rugged seashores with beautiful views all around. There's beautiful walks to be done.
You could park your car, as I did when I was a kid, and take the boat to Belle-Île.
Yeah, that's more the southern part of
southern
it.
Part.
But even on the northern part, you've got some very nice
islands off the coast.
Ile de Bréhat.
Yeah, there are quite a few of them all the way around.
And then finally, if you want to appreciate the language, the music, the dance, what opportunities would a traveler have to, let's say they just really want to celebrate Breton culture?
But on an everyday basis, there are festivals and parties everywhere. The Bretons are party people. They're Celtic. You know, they love their party.
They love singing,
they love drinking, they love partying. It's a big, big thing. So you'll have little festival and celebration all around the place. There's no question about
that. Festnos, they're called. Night festivals.
Tell me about a night festival you went to that would be fun.
Oh, there's been quite a few. The Lorient Until Celtic is one of the biggest one, which celebrates Celtic culture from all around that.
So this is gathering together Celtic culture.
The Western Crescent there from Galicia to Scotland. And there's Bagad, which are a type of percussions and bagpipe groups which will battle. You have battles and competitions.
So the battle of the bagpipes.
And you don't have to be very close to see it. You can hear it from afar.
I bet, yeah. And Patrick, Richard mentioned just in passing Galicia.
Yeah, Galicia's and Asturias are two regions of Spain.
Celtic
culture as well.
So when we think of this Celtic culture thing, I mean, we have to remember, as you said, it was everywhere. And now it's been beaten down over time, but it survives. It survives vividly, of course, in Scotland and Ireland. Cornwall in England is Celtic.
Absolutely.
Galicia in Spain is Celtic.
Asturias.
Yeah. And Brittany in France. This idea that all of the Celtic cultural celebrations could come together for one pan-Celtic party. What is that called?
The entire Celtic.
Entire Celtic?
Entire. I-N-T-E-R. Entire Celtic.
Inter-Celtic.
Inter-Celtic, yeah.
And where is that?
It's in Lorient, which is a little town.
Lorient.
The southern part of Brittany. Not very far from Carnac and Quiberon and all this area down there.
So that would be a reason to really cap your visit to Brittany.
That's a fantastic party.
I would
party.
Love that. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Richard and Patrick Vidal, two tour guides from France, both from Brittany. How do I say... Vive la France, but in Brittany.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
No, but how do you say Vive la Bretagne?
Vive la Bretagne. Yes, that's
is that what you say?
Yeah, yeah.
Vive la Bretagne.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people have a bumper sticker.
Yeah.
That says we are Brittany.
Yeah. They've got the flag. The flag is
the
a big flag, thing.
The braise, which
the
is
braise,
the Britain name for Brittany.
So that's a good thing to remember that a tourist will look at braise.
Yeah.
And then what is that? Well, that's
every
the name
time
of the country you're in.
BZH. That's the word. That's the short one.
On the decal. They have a decal on the car that says your country.
BZH. That's Brittany.
The black and white flag.
Yeah.
In stripes with the ermine, you will see everywhere in France. The Bretons are very proud to announce that they come from Brittany.
And Paris has learned to deal with
it. They have.
They've learned you cannot shut the Briton culture up.
Paris is the largest Brittany town in France. There's more Brittany people in Paris than any other town in France, even Nantes or Rennes or whatever.
Okay.
So many of them down there. It's
so
crazy.
It's good to know a little bit about Breton culture, even if you're just going to Paris. Exactly.
If you don't get to Brittany and you want to enjoy a slice of Breton culture and a crepe and a galette, Montparnasse area is a very
nice.
There's so many of them. You can't miss them.
Richard, Patrick, thank you so much. And what should I say in Britain?
The best one, because they drink a lot, is Yamat. Yamat is cheers.
Oh, Yamat.
Yamat.
Yamat. Richard and Patrick Vidal, thank you for sharing a little bit about an underrated and very rewarding corner of France to visit.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having
us. Our pleasure.
I'll see you in Brittany. Elliot Stein joins us in just a moment to look at what one reviewer called the unexpected pockets of joy that he's found all over the world. People who are guarding local traditions dating back farther than anyone can remember. But they may be among the very last of their kind. We'll learn about these custodians of wonder next. But first, let's hear how creative our Travel with Rick Steves listeners have been in composing haiku poems from their travels in France. You can send us your own original travel haiku from a link on our website at ricksteves.com/radio.
Jessica Graber from Hamilton, Ontario, ventured to one of her favorite regions of France and summed it up in a haiku. Crepes and hard cider, ancient stones and wild coasts, charming Brittany. Jennifer Pierce of Boulder, Colorado, recalls what she saw when she traveled to view the scene of the D-Day landings in Normandy. On Omaha Beach, families play volleyball. Sacrifice brought peace. And Ben Bagby from Springfield, Illinois, has this travel tip. Ignoring advice, I took the road less traveled and became quite lost.